praise the Lord. Let all God's people praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let all God's people praise the Lord. Shake off those heavy bands. Lift up those holy hands. Let all God's people praise the Lord. One more time, shake them off. Shake off those heavy bands. Lift up those holy hands. Let all God's people praise the Lord. Amen. Glory. Did we have a special? Did anybody have a special in their heart? Okay. Let's go to Key of C a minute then. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. The cross before me, the world behind me. The cross before the world behind me, the cross before me, the world behind me. No turning back, no turning back. This world is good, but give me Jesus. Take his whole world, but give me Jesus. Take his whole world, but give me Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. You fill me with the Holy Ghost, you've surely been good to me. You fill me with the Holy Ghost, surely been good to me. Fill me with the Holy Ghost, surely been good to me. You have done what this world could not do. Lord, 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 you've surely been good to me. Lord, 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 you've surely been good to me. Lord, 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 you've surely been good to me. You have done what this world cannot. Eternal life right here. You saved my soul when I was lost. You've surely been good to me. You saved my soul when I was lost. Surely been good to me. Saved my soul when I was lost. Surely been good to me. You have done what this world could not. Fill me again, Lord. You fill me with the Holy Ghost. You've surely been good to me. You fill me with the Holy Ghost. Surely been good to me. Fill me with the Holy Ghost. Surely been good to me. You have done what this world. Share this. You heal my body when I was sick. Surely been good to me. He healed my body when I was sick. Surely been good to me. Heal my body when I was sick. Surely been good to me. You have done what this world could not do. The move is on, my Lord. The move is on. The move is on, my Lord. The move is on. I can hear the roaring in the mulberry. every tree. And I know, the move is on. Move on, brother. Move on, sister. This is God's moving day. Move a little closer where the fire is falling. Move on, brother. The move is on. The move is on, my Lord. The move is on. I can hear the roaring in the mulberry tree. And I know, I know, I know the move is on. One more time. Move on, brother. Move on, brother. Move on, sister. This is God's moving day. Where the fire is falling, move on, brother, move on. Amen. All right. We can move on because we have leadership. And the leadership is the word. And we've been blessed to sit under it. I've been under 32 years. I still got a lot of work to do in myself. He has a lot to do in me also. Thank him for grace. Amen. Thank him for grace. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that shaped a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now found. I was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that Thank you, Lord, for leading me. Amen. It wasn't in the list. Amen. Word of God, ever true. Amen. Holy words, long preserved for our walk in this world. They resound with God's own heart. Oh, let the word of God impart words of life, words of hope. Give us strength, help us cope in this world.
Pray, God, that you get your part today.
Amen.
He is going to impart your part. We sure do appreciate that. God bless you. Good to be back in the house of the Lord. Thank you for coming. We appreciate you. Maybe today we can, just home folks here today. So I know when I told Brother Carlos, I said, sorry that we're having to trudge along through this series, but if somebody new comes walking in, you can't just start talking about third pull. And you know, all that and the seal, so you kind of have to back up a little bit. So I don't apologize for the word being preached, but I apologize that maybe we need to, you know, get a little bit faster. But God knows He's the one that does it. So, Oh, screen working. Okay, we had that little glitch this morning, but that's okay. Listen, I want to really thank the ones that stayed between service today at 1:15. You know who you are, and I think that the unity of us coming together and learning how to stay in rhythm and learning how to really get everything down right, and it really shows that there's talent there that sometimes are hidden. Yeah, and that God may want to develop that talent. And many times you watch people in service, and they come in and sit down, don't say anything for a long time, and then all of a sudden Ryan shows up. All of a sudden he comes out of his shell, and he starts a deacon, and now he's doing this, and now he's doing that, and now he's doing all these things. So, you know, and sometimes you have to give him a little nudge.
Amen.
Shove. Nudge, not shove. Sorry. Yeah. Strongly suggest that they do these things, but everybody's got a talent. Every person in this building, every bride of Jesus Christ has a talent.
Amen.
And they really need to be able to use it. And when we did that practice here today at between service, I really appreciate the ones that took the time to piece it together, and then everybody was very alert and listening and paying attention, and I think that it'll work out with our worship service being much better. Okay? God-given talent. If it's God-given, God will use it. Amen, and I believe it is. So let's turn in our Bibles. Let's start in Revelation 6. Maybe we'll get something going today on on the fourth seal. Like I said, I am contemplating. You know, Brother Claude Weisinger told me years ago, he said, Sunday morning, everybody comes. That's your ones off the street, your ones that you bring in, the ones that, like today, that Calvin brought his wife, and she hadn't been here ever. And, you know, he said, so I just preach an evangelistic, pastoral type message in Sunday morning. He said, but Sunday afternoon, he said, that's when the real people show up. That's when the home folks show up. Usually you don't have the home. You have home folks in the afternoon and the home folks on Wednesday night most of the time. So, but I am contemplating doing something a little bit different. So just keep us in prayer to get through this series. I don't want it to be boring, but I don't want it for us to be able to I want us to be able to know what's going on, but I don't like the gaps in between. Because gaps in between, I know Anna's a teacher and different ones that teach. Man, when you have a break, like Christmas break or school break in the summertime, you spend 2 months when they come back, you spend 2 months trying to get them, you know, acclimated to what's going on because they've had 2 months or 3 months of not doing what they were supposed to do. And as far as learning, same way with the message of the hour, we are not any better than someone in school. We are schoolmates. I mean, we're schoolmates. We listen, we pay attention, we're creatures of habit, so the habit would be more of us doing this more often. So we may try to do some of this maybe on Saturday night, but I'll let you know. And it won't be required, but I want to try to get through with this series. So next Sunday, remember, only one service. Brother Moses from Honduras will be here. Then the next week will be the two services, and I think we're going to have another one of the tambourine or the acoustics or whatever you want to call it. The percussion. That's what I said. The percussion. Thank you. But it really sounded good today. It really did. And when everything comes together, it sounds really good. And I want you to do one thing for me. Before I come out here, I pray. And I've instructed all of our song leaders that what we do is even if I'm here or not, the minister that's in the back, that you go in and pray before you come out here and begin your service. Right. Brother Joe, Brother Aaron, and Brother Boyd, and we did it today. I think musicians, there was one church I went to and preached for them, and now it was a bigger church, and they had a room that all the musicians went in that room and they prayed before they started, right, all together, and then come out. Right. Okay? That's why sometimes you think, well, you're being harsh on people, but we want to shed everything back there. Right. When you come flying up here, and I'm not pointing at your seat because it's you, I know that's for a fact, but if you come running from there to here and sit down and start playing, what have you brought with you? Right. I mean, what have you brought with you? Okay, but if you got here a few minutes early, go in that room right there. That's fine. Now listen, men and women don't go in there together, unless you got everybody, song leaders and all. Okay, everybody understand me? Okay, but you go in there, and you shut that door and you pray before you come out here and play. Amen. I think that'll make it a whole lot better. Then there won't be any like competition. There won't be any. It'll be everything will be shed. Everything will be shed away. And everybody can get. I really like that because that's what the brother instituted. That all the song leaders and the musicians would go, and they even tried to. They even discussed, you know, well, we're going to sing this. And of course, you know, you got all your paperwork here. Richard, do you ever throw anything away? No. All right then. Oh, I said I'm not giving up on him. He's all right. He's Terrence's brother-in-law, but he'll be okay. I just looked over and I thought, man. Kind of messy up here, but go back there. All of y'all kind of go together if you want to. And I know, listen, I know people can't get to church on the same exact time. I don't know why, but I don't see that people do that. But take a few moments, honestly, take a few moments before you touch those instruments. Listen, you're not playing for people. You playing for God. And if God's give you that talent, he wants to hear that talent unimpeded. He wants to hear that talent that comes from your heart to him. Not worry about whether the people, worry about what's here and you playing for him. I don't preach for you. You're God's people. Okay? He's given me a gift. But I'm preaching today to your soul, as Dad always said. Your soul is what I'm dealing with, not your body, because some of y'all are going to fall asleep, and I may fall asleep too. I'm a little sleepy myself, but throw some water on me if I lean over. Thank you. But no, honestly, we should be, I said we need to be more of a praying church.
Amen.
Okay. From here back. And I have begun this week doing that. Okay? And you know what? Pray and read your Bible. That's what Brother Brown said, get closer to God. You think we're dull and we don't get nothing happens? You start doing your part.
Amen.
You start reading your Bible. You start praying your prayer to God that he'll do what he wants to do in the service. I don't want to hinder nobody. But if you'll come in here, or even if you want to go in my study, I don't care. Brother Donnie, he's good at coming up and saying, hey, step in there and say, let's pray. I don't mind one bit, man. That don't bother me one bit. I'm ready to preach when I walk in the door, so I'm not back there studying trying to get a sermon.
Right.
Before I hit that door down there.
Yeah. Before you hit the bottom door?
Okay.
So y'all, but anyway, if you want to do that as a group, that's fine with me. You can slip over there in that room and just say a prayer. Maybe some of the song leaders can kind of lead that. Or if somebody says, like Brother Donnie says, I prayed while I was walking up steps. Right. Sure. And I think, and that goes on. I'm just making sure that everybody knows that it's absolutely almost a requirement that you pray before you touch your instruments.
Amen.
Pray before you even touch your Bible.
Should we just go in there before?
Absolutely. That door, listen, Brother Luis and Brother Manuel, they're in there when they're interpreting. Okay? Any other time, you go in there and pray all you want to. That's really why I moved my office back there, but one of them is closer to the bathroom. But that one, that room is there made for several people can get in that room and pray together. Like I said before, be careful. Don't do the couple of men and one woman or three women and one man. You got to get your... It ain't for me, and I don't trust. It's not that I don't trust you. It's like Brother Gary Longoria said. It's you. You. It's not who I don't trust. It's the devil that I don't trust. Yeah, it's the devil. Okay, to put in the minds of people that are maybe not so godly. But try to do that. If we're going to try to be a better praying church, then pray. Even all you sisters and brothers that teach Sunday school downstairs, pray before you do your lesson. Just say a little prayer. Say, God, direct me into something, what to do. Even if it's, you know, five-year-olds, three-year-olds. Prayer, Brother Brown said, is the greatest weapon that God has given man.
Amen.
Prayer, the greatest gift God give man to communicate with is prayer.
Amen.
Amen. So let's just try to do that more. And I think it'll bring us up another notch.
Amen.
So let's bow our heads. I think that's all the... Oh, next Sunday after the first service, or after service, we'll meet with the deacons, trustees, ministers, and the board of directors. I've asked Brother Joe to be there, too. And if some of you elders want to be there, too, that's fine. Brother Tony, different ones. You're welcome to come. But we want to discuss some things about... if you'll notice this morning... Jeffrey and Amy was gone, and the Valencias are gone, and we didn't have nowhere to put them hardly. So it's getting pretty full. So just something to think about. I want you to be comfortable. Comfortable and be able to worship the way you worship.
Amen.
Which would mean maybe a Jericho Marsh if we had a church big enough. We'd have to open a door, and run around the bottom and come back up. We'd have to be praying for the sick when that happens. So it's not flat. But anyway, I want us to worship God. And with these tambourine things and all that, getting everything done decently and in order, I believe it'll help our service. And listen, I believe it'll help us personally and as a church.
Amen.
To bind closer together. That makes me closer together if you've got everybody on the same page and they're talking and discussing things.
Right.
You know, like Brother Joe, Sister Christine, different ones, back and forth, Brother Boyd, you know, bringing your, I want you to bring your God talent.
Right.
Bring your God talent and use it for the glory of the Lord. So let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. We praise your great name. We thank you so much that you gave us this wonderful message. You put it in front of our path, Lord, and we said that ain't nothing but the truth, as Sister Hattie did. And Lord, now we know that it's truth. Father, let us worship you in spirit and in truth. Let us worship you, Lord, from as David said, through the Psalms, through the hymns, and through even the vocal cords of our mouth. Lord, may we praise you, Father. Praise you with cymbals and timbrets and all the different things. David was a worshiping man. He knew how to worship, and Lord, you loved him because even he would play when Saul was angry and had evil spirits on him. The Bible says that David came and played, and the evil spirits left Saul. My, what could that do for us, Lord, if we would do that? Bless us now. Be with us. Forgive us of our sins. Bless the ones that are sick and the ones that are traveling. The Valencias are pretty much getting on the plane now, getting ready to come back home. We pray that you'll be with them, be with the group up there in Ohio, that you'll be with them and bless them, Lord. Give them strength. Give us this day our daily bread in Jesus' name. Amen. And when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, come and see. And there went out another horse that was red, and power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another. And there was given unto him a great word or sword. Matthew 24, you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. Okay, well, now that was a prophecy that God gave, or that Jesus gave, 2,000 years ago. Well, now we're there.
Amen.
We are, and I want you to understand, you can be seated. I want you to understand one thing. We are living the seals.
Yes, sir.
Right.
We are living the seals.
Yes, sir.
We're watching them unfold, and we're living them, and I'll make a comment here in a few minutes. I want you to notice how that when each seal opens, that you can see a certain virtue in the statue of a perfect man. When the first seal opened, I hope you see godliness. Because that's what it is. It's just showing that there's a white righteous church that's beautiful, that's without spot and without wrinkle, that never had a sin in the beginning. All right?
Amen.
Then we're going to see here in the second seal, we're going to see that they were talking about killing and all these different things. And we're going to read a quote where Brother Brown says, you can talk about somebody and kill their influence, and you've killed the person.
Right.
Well, to me, that's, if we get rid of that, that shows brotherly kindness.
Right.
And brotherly kindness is one of the toughest virtues that we'll ever get over, is having kindness for everybody, even your neighbor. And he put it right up there at the very top, right before he capped it off. He put it right up there at the top. Because
right.
We must be able to forget our faults, forget our failures, forget our inadequacies, and continue forward.
Amen.
Quit looking back, quit looking to the side, move forward.
Amen.
All right? So that's what the second seal is going to show us, and we'll look at it in just a second. So Brother Brown is going to give us the symbols here. Watch. So let us now consider what John saw. Remember, John now, if you want to, pull that chart up on one side if you can, please. Because we're moving to another section. We're moving to another church age, all right? So a red horse and his rider goes forth, power given to him to slay with a great sword. Now, here's my revelation of it. This is Satan again, so we know that it's him again. It's Satan, all right? There is no doubt. He is a devil. He is the demon. He's the tripper-upper. It's the devil again in another form, all right? Now, remember, what are you and I? You and I are God made manifest in another form.
Amen.
Called bride.
Right.
All right?
Right.
Another form. We're in morphe, bride. All right? We've moved into that where we read where Brother Brown said, I don't call you church anymore. I call you bride. All right? So being bride, he can be more intimate. He can be closer. But you got to draw. He said, if you'll draw nine to me, I'll draw nine to you. All right? If you'll draw nine to me, if you'll pray more, if you'll study more, read your Bible more, then I'll draw nine to you. Amen. All right? Because God, we know that Brother Brown said God, or the Holy Ghost, was a gentleman. So he's not going to push himself on you. He's going to let you do what you want to do.
Right.
All right? Now, there's consequences for that.
Oh, yes,
amen? Amen? We get whippings if we, you know, like Brother Brown said, you do something and the Holy Ghost goes out on a limb and you have to call him back. Well, how are you going to call him back? You're not going to call him on cell phone. You're going to pray. Ask for forgiveness. Say, God, take that part out of my life. I don't want you away from me anymore.
Amen.
See, that's to me the awareness of even when that first seal opened, it made us aware that we could have iniquity in our life, that we could have that in our daily life, and now we're aware of it. So being aware of it, we know more. You know, there's a time, I know, there's a time when the bride will have thus saith the Lord, and there's a time when we'll speak to this mountain and be moved, but until we get there, we're going to have problems.
Right.
And we're going to ask forgiveness.
Yes,
now listen. God says we're the virtuous, sinless bride of Jesus Christ. God says we're without spot and without wrinkle.
Right.
All right. He's seeing something different than what we're seeing at the moment.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen?
We're down here heading toward that. But we ain't got there yet.
Right.
So I have to ask forgiveness every day. There's not a day that I don't have to ask forgiveness. Probably you too. But I do get up, though, and I say, God, I'm yours.
Yes.
I am yours. You have bought me with a price.
Yes, sir.
I am going to go forward. I'm going to make a mistake today. But when I get to that mistake, you know what's going to help us? God is going to help us realize what that mistake was.
Right.
And now we know what to do with it. God, forgive me.
Yes.
Very simple, but sometimes it's very profound.
Amen.
You know, Dad always said, he said that if you don't repent quickly, you... few hours or a day later, you've already convicted that other person.
Right.
If you've ever done that, be honest. Somebody raise your hand. I'm going to raise mine. Raise your hand. Hello. Well, y'all perfect people, God bless you. Y'all can sleep on and I'll preach to the people that are true.
Amen.
We do because that's our humanity. We formulate. Well, you know, I wouldn't have done that if that person hadn't done that. You know, if that person had to cut me off, I wouldn't have. Anyway, praise the Lord anyhow.
Amen.
Don't tell me when somebody cuts you off, you don't get a little. Oh, don't get quiet. Good grief. But for those of us that do, I realized real quick and I asked God to forgive me for what I did.
Right.
Okay? But you find out here that this man has a sword. So it pertains to church political war, all right? Now, you might not think that, but just watch it in a minute. Notice the change of color of these horses. Remember the white one? Same rider, change of color. A horse is a beast or a symbol of a power. The same system riding on another. Now, you hear what he said? The same system. All right? So it's the same system all the way through, all right? From the innocent white to a bloody red.
Right.
Watch him now how he's coming.
Right.
So now watch. We know Satan is more in politics now than he ever has been. And the world, as far as Americans, as I was talking to me and somebody else was talking yesterday, Brother Claude, that... the world is now realizing that even as America, we're a nation of Christian people.
Right.
Not. We are not a nation of Christian people. We're a nation of professors with no confession. Because listen, we're in the book of Revelations and we know what our end is by the prophet, that we're going to be a smoldering pile of nuclear waste here in not too very long. Everybody with me? So we are a Christian nation. We were born on Christian principles. We were founded on Christian principles. But we have went away from that. But now everything's back again. You know, they took prayer out of school and didn't want you to say anything about God. Now you bring it into the Congress and the House and the Senate, and they're always saying, let's pray or let's talk to God. Or you know, you got the president says, we thank God for this, and God saved him from this, which is fine. That's good. That's exactly right. God's got his hand on them. It's just not like they think. Okay? Because, see, well, now listen. They're deceived. They're going toward a common good. Okay? But what they're trying to do is control the world. Everybody with me? We're trying to get out of the world. They're trying to build us a bigger kingdom. And remember, craft will prosper and all these different things. And here we go with peace. And then sudden destruction. Brother Collie, I think, read that, or somebody read it the other day. What are we looking for? The world's looking for peace. But they're not looking for the Prince of Peace. They're not looking for the Prince of Peace. They're looking for their peace through money, through all the different things, through popularity and all the different things that we were talking about this morning. That's what they're looking for. But you and I have been, that's why it says, come out of her, my people. Come out of all that. You and I, listen, it's a continual for me coming out. Amen. Amen. I don't know about y'all. If I'm just preaching to me, then bless y'all's heart. Y'all got closer than I have, but there's a lot of things I need to get rid of. Amen? A lot of things we need to all get rid of. So that's a coming out. Come out of her. What is her? It's that system. It's that system of not just, listen, not Baptist, Methodist, and Pentecostals. It's that denominational system that is the spirit. It's what's killing people. It's the spirit of the thing, because it is what? It's anti-word. It's anti-Christ. So give me something positive about the Antichrist. There's only one thing positive about the Antichrist. He's going to die. He's going to hell. And he's going to stay there. So now look. So this next horse comes in. The next rider comes in. They were given this sword to kill one another. Oh, my, notice. Now, when he did that, he did not have the ecclesiastical power yet. Now, remember. Thank you. I forgot about it. Now, remember, now we are right here. Everybody with me? Amen. Right here. The ox anointing. That was the ox anointing that said, come and see in Revelation 6 we just read. It was a red horse. Now, look, you understand what these are, right, these brackets? But it's an overlap of the age. Remember, it doesn't just shut off and another one start. Because what happened at Nicaea was about right here. But it took to right here for them to kill 68 million Christians. It took them that long to formulate that doctrine, and it become law. All right? And then that's what happened in the fourth age, which is called the Dark Age. Which is going in, see, but coming out of the Dark Age, you come into the Black Horse or the Man Age. And I've always said, if you take a black horse, that means one thing. It means death. Something to do with death.
Right.
Everybody with me? But you got to have a red horse before you can have a black horse, because red is killing. You kill and then you die. Now remember, we get on over here to one of the other seals, and the seals finally says, he is death.
Amen.
Hell follows him. Amen. So we're going to get to that in just a second. But you see how deceptive that Satan is. He starts real small.
That's right.
Same way with us. He starts real small. But you know what's the difference in us and the world is, even though he starts real small, there's a Holy Ghost inside of us that says, wait a minute.
Amen.
It says, wait a minute. That's not right. Wait a minute. I shouldn't be doing that.
Right.
Everybody with me?
Yes, sir.
And thank God for the Holy Ghost. In that inside of the inside going, hold on.
Right.
Don't go that far.
Go.
Everybody with me?
Right.
See, to me, that tells you that you have the true baptism of the Holy Ghost.
Right.
It's not that you're never going to make a mistake. Because
right.
You know what you're going to do? Sometimes you're going to override that guy. Well, one more time. Pray for me. Sometimes we override that guy, and that's why we have to. Regina, that's why we have to get out here. I think really we're the one that goes out on a limb and the Holy Ghost stays in here. You know, we go crawling out away from him. So I told a brother on the phone last night, I said, look, don't run away from your problems. Do not run away from your problems. Bring your problems to the Lord. Come to church. We've said it 1,000 times. The first thing Satan does when he tries to get a hold of you is he says, they don't love you no more. They'll judge you if you go to church. They'll this and that and the other. They is us. That's why we must have our arms open. And if somebody does run off somewhere, that we can talk to them and maybe talk them off the ledge. Okay? So just pray for the ones that sometimes you see them come in and then they disappear. Because they're going through something. But what they're going through that thing that Satan says, they don't want you there. They'll talk about you. They don't love you. Well, Satan will tell you that God don't love you, and that ain't even a possibility. But just pray for the people. They're not here with us right now. Because Satan's got them all bound up. I'm talking about good Christian people. Okay? When he did that, he did not have the ecclesiastical power, but now he started with a demon of a false teaching, and that teaching became a doctrine. So you got 325 AD, about number 2 there, close to it. Then 605, it comes after into the end of the third age. But when it becomes to the fourth age, that's where it comes to the place to where if you don't believe in the Catholic Church, you die. All right? Physically die. Because Brother Branham said 68 million were killed during that dark ages, but he said untold other millions that were killed spiritually. Okay? You can be sitting here today wide open, eyed and bushy-tailed, and be dead as a hammer inside. All right? But he started with a demon of a false teaching, and that teaching became a doctrine. That doctrine became what? Look, it became incarnate in a false prophet. And then he went just to the right place. He never went to Israel. He went to Rome. Nicaea, Rome. The council was held and they elected a head bishop. And then by doing this, they united church and state together. Then he dropped his bow. Remember, he had that bow. He dropped his bow and he got off his white horse. He got on his red horse. For he can kill anybody that don't agree with him. All right? There's your seal. And that's why I'm telling you about, we'll read it in just a minute, I think right here. Yeah, I'll read it in a second. For he can kill anybody that don't agree with him. There's your seal. Oh my, same fella. Watch him go right on into eternity yonder with it. Unites both his powers together. The same thing they are trying to do right now. And I mean now, they're doing it way much more than back then. Because listen, you know why? This is the culmination of that. Amen. Whatever got started back there, this is the culmination of it right here. I mean, for an Orthodox to stand up and say, to give Trump a trophy that says that's the Constantine's trophy. What did Constantine do? Brought church and state together. Amen. We're living a lot closer than we think. And listen, look how it's changed in the last 6 months. And you people with these saw blade tempers, that's always spouting off in the mouth at somebody. Can't put up and things like that. Be careful. You're guilty if you speak a word against your brother that's not right, not just go around and tear down it. You don't have to stick a knife in a man's back to kill him. You can break his character. Now look, the people in the message people and especially preachers, they just don't have no wisdom. They kill people. Okay? I'm trying to kill the devil out of us, not you, but the demons that are attached to us. I said us. Amen. Thank you for that amen. The only one I got. Speaking against your pastor here and something bad about him, you just might as well shot him. Amen. Told something that wasn't right about him, well, it'll kill his influence with the people and things like that, and you're guilty of it. That's what Jesus said. All right? So we must be careful. I'm not talking about just me. I'm talking about careful everybody. All right? Be careful to everybody speaking against somebody. And it kills your influence. And you don't have to kill the person physically. Just kill their influence. And that's what happened. Brother Branham, if you'll see it, was it a word to the church or no? It's God in Simplicity. Where he said that somebody will come in and start firing darts. Satan will send somebody in the congregation who'll start firing darts and separating the people. Well, that's what Satan wants to do. He wants to separate it and kill the influence of another person. All right? So let's just not do that. Let's be careful of that. Now we know. And so I wrote myself a note right back there just for a minute ago. So the virtues then is tied to the seals. You ought to be able to see. Now, not 1, 2, 3, and 4, 5, 6, 7. All right? But inside of all that, we can see that the virtues are working. Once the seal opens, we see godliness. And then the second seal opens, we see brotherly kindness. That's the way I see it. Because brotherly kindness is what? Not killing people. It's bringing them up, lifting them up, saying something good. Find something good. Pick up the phone and call somebody and say, God bless you. Amen. Love you. Appreciate you. So now in the second seal, Brother Brown said, now the natural first bride of the human race, before her husband came to her, she fell from grace by listening to Satan's lie after God had her fortified behind his word. Now listen. Jesus Christ was the word, right? He had those, 11. 11 of the 12 he had fortified behind the word of God. They heard the word of God for 3.5 years. All right, everybody with me?
Amen.
They heard, it wasn't secondhand. They heard it from the man.
Right.
Okay, now it's whether Brother Darty, they understood it or not. They were going to, because he said, what you won't understand now, remember in the foot washing, what you don't understand now, you'll understand hereafter.
Yes, right.
I'm going to send the Holy Ghost. He's going to what? Bring all these things back to your memory.
Yes, sir. Right.
What so much things I've said. Listen, they didn't even have a written word. They didn't even have a Bible. They were writing the Bible. So all they had was what they heard in a sermon. To me, that's phenomenal, because we got all this information and sometimes we can't even remember what scripture I read first part of the... I can't hardly remember it either. But they were tuned for that, though. Brother Carlos, every age was tuned different. Every age was tuned different. There was a tone that they heard and they only heard. Then the next one came and there was a tone that they heard from that messenger and they only heard that message.
Right.
All right?
Right?
And that's the same way we're now. So now we are tuned to listen to the last message to the Gentile age.
Amen.
All right? There's no other message. There's no other angle. There's no other someone else coming to say, man, I'm going to make this thing better.
No.
We got to get this right first. Listen to Satan lie. After God fortified her behind the word. All right, if she'd have stayed behind the word, she'd have never fell. Same way with us. Now that's in the natural. Notice the natural woman. And what was the curse? The actual curse was coming out from behind God's word. All right, that was the curse. The act happened. But the curse was, is she denied or didn't listen to God's word.
Right.
Now, she believed 98% of it, but you just have to let one thing go. She believed a whole lot of it, certainly. And other people, same way, they believe a whole lot of it. But our call, our mandate in this hour is to believe all of it. And then make it manifest.
Yes,
amen.
We can't just believe it. We got to make it work. We got to make it manifest. Every age manifested what their messenger said.
Amen.
Might have been a small group, and we're going to be a small group here in this age because of the light that's shining. But there's going to be somebody that's going to pay attention, that's going to read, that's going to turn themselves toward God and forget all the other garbage that's going on and move right on to the coming of the Lord. Amen. The seals are going to open to them and them only. There's no private interpretation, but it is a personal relationship with God.
Amen.
All right? So it's not you and God and your wife. It's you and God as individuals. Okay? If Mama Don't Go Won't Hinder Me, that song's old. It's really worth it now. She said this, and Satan admits that's right. If you can just get you, if he can get you in one corner, that's all he wants. Only thing you have to do is give the bullet a little twist this way and it'll miss the target. Now, she believed so much, but yet missed it. Now, watch. Now, the results, because she left the word for one speck of reasoning, what say now, what about women, or why do we want to talk about something like that? But any of those little things, what's the difference, whether it's initial evidence? It's something to it.
Amen.
Okay? It don't matter how you baptize, that's what he's saying. They're saying, well, it don't matter how you baptize. It don't matter how you do it. It matters.
Yes,
it matters to us because we are required to be the full word of God.
Amen.
It's got to be straightened out.
Right.
We presume at it through seven church ages almost. But the hour has come. This is 1963. But the hour has come when God speaks it, and he don't only speak it, he shows it, and vindicates it, and proves it. That's right. If he doesn't do that, then it isn't God. That's all. God stands behind his word.
Amen.
Now, I threw this one in because I want us to understand something. We're going through justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost. And this quote came to my mind, and I want you to really see this because Brother Brown says, end of the end time, sir, sign of the end, sir. This is right before the seals was preached. He's talking about the mysteries. So the mystery of the baptism of the Holy Ghost without cessation,
right.
But the person of Christ performing in you the same works that he did. So I said, you say, well, I don't know if I got the Holy Ghost or not. Well, listen. Just listen. Don't listen to me.
Right.
Listen to what the sounding board inside of you. You listen to you. You listen to what I say. You listen to what the prophet says. Everybody with me?
Amen.
But God's got to speak to you inside and say either that ain't nothing but the truth or I don't understand that or that ain't the truth. You got an option here.
Right.
But that's up to you, not me.
Yes.
Amen.
But to receive the Holy Ghost without cessation, in other words, without, like Mary. Mary had to wait at least 28 days before she found out she was pregnant. You know what I mean? Us that are older, we understand the cycle of life. Mary said, be it unto me according to thy word. Well, see, there was no sensation. There was no act with a man. Because if you had an act, she had an act with a man. She did with Joseph after Jesus was born. She had an act with Joseph and had other children. And then if she didn't make her 28-day cycle, she could say, well, I know, because this is what everybody else does. But she had to do it without any of that. She had to believe that God was going to do what he said he was going to do.
Right.
And sent an angel to tell her that.
Amen.
So that's the same way. And I look at her like I look at Hattie Wright, same way. Now, Sister Hattie wasn't a virgin, but Sister Hattie needed something. And an angel was sent to her, a prophet.
Right.
An angel was sent to her, and she said the right word. And he turned and said, whatever you ask. Well, Mary, you're going to have a child, and you're going to this and that and the other. And she says, how can I do this? I don't know. I don't know, man. The prophet explained, or the angel explained it to her, just like Brother Ram explained it to Hattie. And look what happened.
Amen.
Without cessation, her two children got born again. Okay? Now, they had an emotion, but not a sensation. They weren't in church. They didn't run down to the altar. They run to their mama's knee and got down on the ground and started praying. Right?
Right.
So you and I today, when we're looking at these seals, we're looking at something that it could be seeming like the boringest. Like somebody said they may, somebody said it, that I hear so much. I can't comprehend everything. That we can hear it. And it takes a while for it to. It does, that's the way with everybody.
Right.
You know, you walk outside and you talk about the world and talk, not the world, but you talk about the weather and you talk about what you're going to do tomorrow and how many cars you got and how many. I just looked at you. That's why I said how many cars. How many cars you got? Car people. But then when you're at home and you either listen to a tape, or you come back to church the next Sunday, or even talking to a brother or sister, and you say something and it sparks, says, oh yeah, that was for me then. That part was for you in the sermon that may have been 6 months ago. But remember, folks, there's one important thing. You got to hear it first. It cannot formulate in your mind by itself. That's your thoughts. You can formulate thoughts in your mind, but they're your thoughts. But when God brings you something, it comes from His mind down in and just severs your thoughts. Oh, it's messy sometimes. It's red. It's messy. But when He comes in and severs it, you know it's God. You know it's God cutting away the things that we don't need. And telling us that He loves us and He wants us to do better and He wants us to do this and do that and do the other. Well, what's this and that and the other? It's the Bible. Read the Bible. How can I do these things knowing not a man is what Mary said. Well, you know what? She had an excuse. She had an excuse. Nobody, that had never happened before. But she didn't use that excuse and say, I can't do it. She said, be it unto me according to thy word, and then it happened. Then she had to continue to hold on for much days after that. Okay? So now let's get into the second seal. The second seal is the second beast is the ox, which is the fourth church age. Now there's lap over. So be careful when you start reading through history that the dark age, now that was a long age. The fourth age was like 1,500 years of time where it was just the Inquisition. If you'll look, there's a lot of wars that were fought. Now, see, we fought a war here, and we could be in America and send a bomb over to Iraq, right? And there's nobody killed except the intended people that's in that building or whatever more, right? But remember, these people, they had to physically go, and there weren't even guns back then, or gunpowder. It was hand-to-hand. So, I mean, it was pretty much you had to kill that person. You sure didn't want him to stay alive and raise up and kill you. So they really fought and killed each other, and that's why it said they would kill each other. Did you read what I said in Revelation? You read it says, kill each other with a sword, all right? But remember, as Brother Brown said, untold millions were killed by the sword of the false word or the false teaching that came out of that age. Because everything formulated out of that age to bring in your denomination. Right. Lutheran, Wesley, yeah. Pentecost, and all the different offshoots from that came after the Dark Ages. Right. But remember, that's when God was raising back up a group of people. Yes. The seed went in the ground and died. Mm-hmm. It didn't abide alone. It started coming out. Brother Brown said, with one little shoot, that was Wesley. Right. I mean, Luther. And then you got two shoots as Wesley. I was talking to Brother Claude. He made a really good point. We were talking about the seed. Because, see, we are the seed coming to fruition. We're not the plant. Come on, we're not the leaves. We're not the bark. That all was used to get the life at the end of the plant. As we were talking before, it was at Brother Donnie's a couple of days ago, checking on Susan, and he took me outside. He showed me all the plants he had. Well, anything that's down below your fruit, like tomatoes, they was all nasty old green, brown looking. Cut them off. They're suckers. They still got enough life in them to pull life out. What the plant wants to do is the plant wants to push every bit of that life. Because, listen, the plant knows, if you'll get this, you'll get something. Amen. The plant knows he cannot procreate or take his fruit to the next generation without producing fruit. An apple tree that don't have any apples on it is not going to have any seed for the next time coming up. So that plant knows. The nature of that plant is to push every bit of that sap or energy up into that plant and out into apples, pears, oranges, or whatever more. So you cut off all this down here at the bottom. You prune it off so that life won't go out that shoot. We were talking about, it won't go out that shoot. It'll go to the tomato. You cut it off, it goes to the tomato. And that's what happens with me and you. You and I are being pruned. Because pruning and honing is pretty much the same thing. Okay? Pruning and honing is the same thing. But remember, we are the fruit. And Brother Claude said, you know, he said, if you take an ear of corn, and I don't know, there's 4,000, I think, ears, or little, what they've called, the seed, which that's what we eat. We dry it, and it becomes seed, right? But he made a good point. He said, you know, talk about brotherly kindness. He said, we're supposed to be out here with the grain, be the grain. He said, you know, you can't pull them kernels apart. If you try to pull them kernels apart, you ruin one or both of the seed. That's just something for y'all to think about.
Amen.
That's like brotherly kindness. Those seeds are set to be in there just like this, and then when they dry, they naturally fall off. But what we want to do is we want to cut between them, and we want to cut this one out because we don't like this one. Everybody with me?
Right.
Let it go to fruition. Because remember, we got to be dried to get out of here.
Right.
Ripen. We got to be ripened to get out of here. So take that and see that what Satan's trying to do, he's trying to put a knife down between those seed plants. That seed, and when he does, he ruins both or either one. So let's don't ruin seed.
Right.
Brother Dick used to say bruising fruit.
Right.
So the second beast was an ox, fourth church age, right here. You see it? It was a red horse. Red horse signified blood, or now we're going to talk about sanctification in a little bit. And what is sanctification? It's cleaned and set aside for service, not putting in service. So what happened was they're getting their cleansing. A corn of wheat dies. If it goes in the ground and doesn't die, it abides alone. This one didn't abide alone because God is going to have a bride.
Yes. Amen.
Right.
It got cut down to a stump like the bride tree did, but there was life in the sap. There was life in the roots. So when the roots came up and started coming back out after the fourth church age, then you see that Luther, comes up. We'll talk about that in just a minute. But remember, it's clean and set aside. So what he was doing, he was literally cleaning up. What's God going to do? Let me ask you a question. What's God going to do when we leave here? God's going to clean this earth off.
Amen.
Clean this earth off so that we can come because it's cleaned and set aside. Oh, I just got something here. It was cleaned and set aside.
Right.
No Holy Ghost. But there's a Holy Ghost group of people going to come down on that earth, that sanctified earth, and going to make it justified, sanctified, and the Holy Ghost people are going to be on the earth. Well, what a wonderful God we serve. Cleaned and set aside for service. And power was given to take peace and kill each other. Some with a real sword, some with a word. Because you're given a sword, false word from a false teacher or a false prophet. All right? Listen, that's why when I see that, every time I see that, I thank God that he sent us a true prophet.
Amen.
Amen? Because there was somebody the other day, I think I sent some of you a message, and I'm going to tell you who it is. You can pretty much figure it out. The person said, if you listen to your pastor and if you listen to the ministers, you're lost. But if you'll listen to the tapes, you have eternal life. That's a direct quote. I got it in my phone from the headquarters up yonder that way. Now, that's a bunch of garbage.
Amen.
Somebody told me one time, said, well, he's a prophet. I said, you know what? Balaam was too. Brother Brown said Balaam could get an audience with God.
Right.
Balaam was a prophet of God.
Right. Amen.
But you see how that turned out. There's no way, folks, we're going to get out of here by listening to tapes.
Amen. That's right.
They're going to set up there and they're going to rot. Not rot the right way. They're going to rock the wrong way. But yeah, he sent a message out and said, it's a direct quote, if you listen to preachers and pastors, you're dead. In other words, they lie. But if you listen to the tapes, it'll be eternal life. You'll be the bride and it'll be eternal life. And he signed his name to the bottom of it. So you can believe that if you want to, but that's not according to God's word. But I'm not going to get involved with it. I'm not. As long as he stays up there in up north, he'll be all right. As long as you don't come down here. But isn't that what it's supposed to be? So close that it deceives the very elect? That sounds good. And I'm like my dad. I agree that 90% of the preachers in this message, you probably would do better off listening to tapes. But there's a true bride. There's a true fivefold ministry from the book of Ephesians that's going to perfect a group of people and get us out of here. Amen. It's not going to be a press play and obey. Amen. Ephesians 6, verse 17 says, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Brother Brown said, he said, one word off got him out of the garden. He said, one word off won't get us back in. Amen? So if you believe that you can press play and become, I don't say you can't be born again. I'm just saying you will not grow. You will not grow. It said for the perfecting of the saints, that this fivefold ministry. Of course, they got their idea about that, but that's okay. But then that person ought to quit taking tithes if he ought to get tithes to his daddy that was going on. But anyway, Pergamene church age, there's always something you look at and you look back and you go, how can they be that dumb? They're getting rich. I'm sorry. They can't find buildings big enough to put the people. They're moving up there in droves. 1,800 people. Lazy people. Sorry. They need a pastor to look them in the eye and say, you ain't living right.
Amen.
All right, that's enough of that. But that's there is a coming together. But remember, Brother Brown said there would be a separation of the two spirits in the framework of the church.
Amen.
Not out there, in here.
Right.
But there will only be one group of people that'll be able to tell the difference.
Right.
And I hate it for those people that's caught in that. See, we thought that when they all left because of the Rod Bergen and all them, you know, the Believe the Sign people, we thought that was pretty bad. No, they're just gone. They don't believe Brother Brown was anything. They bash him all the time. Let's bring it a little bit closer. Let's bring it into our own house, because that's where Judah stayed until the very end. So anyway, and there's always hope for everybody. Everybody, always. But realistically, there's only going to be a small group of people that's going to take the true word of God and make it live. And I believe it's us. I believe we are in a position to get it. Already the false vine was turning loose its anger against the living God by killing the elect, even as it did its forebear, Cain, killing Abel. The true church kept trying to get the first church to repent. It would not do so. It increased in size, what did I just say? Size and influence. It embarked upon a constant campaign to discredit the true seed. Did I just read that for some? I forgot I had that one in there. But it's just exactly what I just said. They claim that I ain't read this. I'm sorry, I didn't know. I wasn't going to say what I said, but I'm going to read you this quote. They claim that they and they alone were the true representatives of the Lord Jesus Christ and vaunted the fact that they were the original church in Rome. And they alone were the first church. Now watch. Now wait a minute, hold on. Indeed, they were the first church. And indeed, they are. Thus, by the time of this third church age, we have two churches bearing the same name, but with a bitter difference. I didn't script this, okay? I'm sorry, I did not. I promise you, with my hand up to the Lord, I had no idea that I was going this way. with a bitter difference between them. One has departed from the truth, married idols, and there's no life in her. She has hybridized herself. Now, being a hybrid means that you're almost like the truth, right? She has hybridized herself, and the signs of death, not life, follow in her wake. She is powerful with many members. She's favored by the message believers. She's favored by the world. The other is a little persecuted group. But she follows the word, and the signs will follow her. The sick are healed. The dead are raised. She's alive with the life and word of God. She loves not her life, but holds to his name and his faith even unto death.
Amen.
Now, to get the real meaning of what we're about to go into, the Ephesian church age, I might caution you to keep in mind that religion, spiritual matters, if you like, is composed of two parts that intertwine but are as opposite as black and white. Religion and the spiritual world are made of those two trees, which had their roots in Eden. Everybody with me? Watch this picture. You would think those two churches was like this. They weren't. They sat side by side. Satan and the Lord. You remember it wasn't a tree? Everybody with me? It was the Lord and Satan. Those two trees. And they weren't over here and over here. Religion and the spiritual world were made of those two trees which had their roots in Eden. Both the tree of life and the tree of knowledge of good and evil stood in the midst of the garden, and no doubt their very branches intertwined each other.
Right. Right.
Wow. Thus, in the Ephesian church is that same paradox. The church is made up of a good and a bad. Two vines make the church. They're like the wheat and tares growing up side by side. One is the true, the other is false. Now, God will speak to each one. Now, God will speak to each one. And he will talk about each one. He will call them the church. And only the elect will really know which is the true spirit. Only the elect will not be deceived. Everybody else will.
Amen.
Everybody else will be deceived.
Right.
All right? I didn't make this up. The Laodicean church age. Look, harvest time. Harvest time. Two vines that grew together and intertwined their branches are now to be separated, because that's what happened. See, there was a true church and a false church here all the way through, true and false church. But remember, this over here had a little more of a separation. But as they got in, Satan got closer, their vines started intertwining.
Amen.
Then they got right here, and then the evil took over the good. But now remember, when you come back up, we see that the good is now separating. But still, all the way down through here, they're intertwined because of denominations.
Right.
And false doctrine and false ideas. They're still intertwined until now. And you can call it whatever name you want to call it. It's two different spirits.
Amen.
When the seals opened, that was one of the greatest revelations Brother Ram ever had, was there was two spirits in the framework of the church. Okay? Because he said, here stands a lamb and there goes a white horse rider. He saw separation. All
right?
The two vines that grew together and intertwined their branches are now to be separated. The fruits of those vines which were at such variance will be gathered into separate garners. The two spirits will go to their separate destinations. Now it is time to heed the final call that comes only to the wheat bride. Come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye wheat receive not her tares, plagues. The great tribulation of the sixth seal in Matthew 24. So now what are we looking at? We're looking at a church that's riding through with power, money, popularity, and all that other stuff. I'm talking about the false. You've got the true. Remember, the true's ahead. Listen, the devil's never in front of God, okay? The true has to go forth. What did Brother Branham say? He said there had to be a true before there had to be a false. There had to be a true hand before there would be a shadow of a hand. There had to be a true. So there was a true tree, vine, tree, growing all the way through. But remember, according to restoration of the bride tree, Brother Branham said it was eat down to a stump. But remember, I will restore, said Joel. And he restored. What's happening is you and I are the culmination of the restoration.
Amen.
You and I, we are. We are the culmination of the restoration of that tree, that now that tree can grow fruit, and the fruit can be the right kind of fruit.
Amen. Right.
Not a tear, but real fruit. All right? So we have to be cleaned and set aside for service. The church had to be cleaned up and set aside for service. Even in the fifth church age, when we get to a little bit further, we get into the third seal, we'll see that thing still hung on even because Luther was a Trinitarian. So that vine was still intertwined just a little bit. But God was getting ready to separate it, because in the Laodicean church ages, when God sent us a prophet to separate it.
Yes.
All right? What's happening is they're not taking the true word of God now. Listen to me. They're not taking the true word of God now. They're taking their own ideas. They know God sent a prophet.
Amen. That's right.
They don't deny that. They don't deny it was a prophet. They don't deny that his 1,100 sermons is the truth. But to stop there and put a period on it, it's like what Brother Brown said the Pentecostals did. They said, initial evidence of the Holy Ghost is you speak in tongues, period. He said God moved away from them.
Amen.
All right? God moved away from that because that's not God. God is a continual moving person. He is a continual moving organism. And his people, his bride, are a continual moving organism.
Yes, right.
Amen.
We're not going to stop. The people that stop, they can press play all they want to.
Amen.
The Bible said he would give us a new heart. And he would give us a new spirit. And many people, even the Pentecostal people and full gospel people, has been deceived in that. Many times God said, I'll give you a new spirit. That wasn't his spirit. We've been through this before. But this is talking about sanctification. So we're talking about the same thing. He's going to give you a new spirit. When they come out of that red or that fourth church age, they had a new understanding. Luther said the just, they went right back into the Bible and said the just shall live by faith. Okay?
Right.
It never was taken out of the Bible. It was just revealed to Luther, but still the vines were intertwined, but God was pulling them away, trying to get them away, and he did, not trying. God don't try to do anything.
Amen.
He does it.
Amen.
You and I try. So now watch, even Pentecostal people and full gospel people has been deceived in that. Many times God said, I'll give you a new spirit. That wasn't his spirit. That's your spirit.
Right.
Then I will put my spirit in you. I'll give you a new spirit. Then I will put my spirit in you. All right? Now that's talking about the Holy Ghost. The spirit over here is sanctification.
Right.
Everybody with me? It's been preached here 100,000 times. But it's not God's spirit. He said, then I'll put my spirit in, which is the Holy Ghost. All right? Then I will put my spirit in you. Now watch. And many times you get the new spirit and think you got the Holy Spirit.
Right.
And trusting upon emotions and signs and things.
Right.
Having a new birth without sensation will take care of that.
Amen.
Everybody with me?
Amen.
He said trusting upon that. We will have that. We will have signs and wonders and emotions. But you just can't trust it all.
That's right.
When your life doesn't pivot up to that, now that's just a little raw, but remember, it's the truth. Many people, that spirit, that new spirit, God had to give you a new spirit to get along with his spirit.
Amen.
Okay?
Yep.
Well, some people so mean they can't even get along with themselves, let alone with God. If he would come in. That's right. So doubtful and up and down. God has to give you a new spirit, give you a new nature, so you can get along with his spirit when it does come.
That's right.
Amen. I hope you see it. God gives you a new spirit for yourself.
Yes. Right.
Then he puts his Holy Spirit in there to dwell with you and abide with you. Everybody with me? That's why I said sanctification was a hard place to be, even Brother Brown says. He said, you think you got it. You think it's his spirit. He said, it's not his spirit. It's a spirit to be able to head you toward his spirit, but it's a spirit so you can get along with yourself. Because remember, how many times, I remember in my sanctification, in my justification, I still warred a lot. There was a lot of wars going on. I'm talking about fresh wars that were going on, that was being brought up by my conversion. Everybody with me? All right. But when being taught like we were, I knew that the next stage coming up was going to be getting rid of, cleaned, and set aside for service. But I'm being cleaned up by the Holy Spirit, but it's not the Holy Spirit that's in me doing it.
That's right.
He's given me a spirit. Brother Brown said sanctification brings you into a religious order. You start coming to church. You start reading your Bible. That's exactly what I did. But knowing, Brother Kern, that wasn't the Holy Spirit. Knowing I had to continue on months and months and months later into my walk and then know that God brought his spirit down and put it inside my soul to make me a born-again believer, not make me somebody, a mate believer, because a mate believer, he thinks he's got it. But there's one day he'll remember. Something will happen, and he'll remember he don't have it. Now watch. Now, this church age, the message is poured out into the church. Now, this is blasphemous names. Now, this is Brother Branham, the next sermon after he preached, the Statue of Perfect Man. All right?
Amen.
Or either the one after that, maybe the next week. I think he preached My God the next night. But the next week, he preaches blasphemous names, and he pretty much preaches Statue of Perfect Man all over again.
Right.
Now, but in this church age, the message is being poured into the church. Oh, this is what it is. This is the dream of Sister Shepherd. Everybody remember that? If you don't, I'm going to read it to you.
Right.
Now, being in this church age, the message is being poured into the church. He's actually telling the dream.
Right.
He's interpreting it for them. But the church body itself is all together like the... Now, watch. He said, this tabernacle will say. That's where she comes to church, talking about Sister Shepherd. This tabernacle is not a Holy Ghost tabernacle. There is no such a thing. Individuals that come into this church... is Holy Ghost tabernacles. They are tabernacles that contain the Holy Ghost, but not the church and the body, a group, therefore it runs out. Now watch.
Amen.
But what? This man was pouring the water, the messenger to the church. If you don't have time to go back and look, there was a vision. Sister Shepherd wanted to know if she was born again.
That's right.
All right? She was laying on the duofold. She went into a vision, and there was a pyramid. There was a box sitting up here on top of a pyramid, right, or on top of the mountain. It was a box, and there was a man pouring water into the box.
Right.
Amen. And it wouldn't hold the water. It kept coming out, and then he said sticks and stones and all this other stuff started flowing out of it,
right.
So here he's telling the interpretation of that, because, you know, if a man gives you a true revelation of your dream, he sees the dream the same as you do.
Amen.
That's why Brother Brown could be so confident. God would show him the dream, and he'd have the same dream because, you know what? He told that one brother, he said, now, wait a minute. You left that out.
Right. That's right.
Well, see, leaving it out, he couldn't give him a true interpretation.
Right.
That's why God gave him the dream to see and told the brother, you left this out for a certain reason. He probably told him what that reason was. But what? This man who was pouring the water, the messenger to the church, so it was Brother Brown, his message.
Right.
What is the water? Washing of the water by the word, all right? The messenger to the church, pouring the message into the church. But what was the water doing? It was boiling out all the trash that was in it. That's what the Holy Spirit does, boils it up now.
Right.
Now remember, Sister Shepherd was already born again. It was proven that by God telling her through the prophet that she was standing in the water. This is later on, all right? Everybody with me? Well, most of you are not. So anyway... But that's what she saw, this box, and the messenger was pouring the water into the box, and the water was coming back out, but there was trash running out with it.
That's right.
That's the Statue of a Perfect Man. That's why he's preaching blasphemous names. He's telling you that even though you're born again, you still got trash.
Right.
And it takes the church age messenger, it takes him pouring the water in to get all the trash out, even though you're already born again. Even though Sister Shepherd was standing at the bottom of the pyramid, all that was rushing down over her feet. Now look, he says, now the honey represented brotherly love, brotherly kindness. Because what happened was, remember, the messenger lined it with honey, and it held. Now the honey represented brotherly love, brotherly kindness, which is this age. I just got through telling you, see, of brotherly kindness. He's talking about that. The age that we live in. So you're going to have trash. What I'm saying is, even during when that red horse was riding, you could see that Satan, was physically killing people by his doctrine. But through every bit of that, God was cleaning his church up.
Right.
That's right.
He was cleaning that church out. He was getting ready to bring Luther in to start building his church back up again. Because
right.
Even though Luther had bad doctrine, he was a church age messenger.
Amen.
Okay? Everybody with me?
Amen.
So the fourth seal. If you look and see what God's doing, literally through all the bad stuff that we look at, like red means death and killing. Remember, that is sanctifying. Brother Brown said, what happened to the world? First time God justified the world, washed it with water in the flood.
Right.
He sanctified it at Calvary with the dropping of his blood on the ground at Calvary. That's sanctification. Then he's going to burn it off in the millennium to show that the Holy Ghost people and everything's going to be the Holy Ghost, so there won't be anything left.
Right.
Satan will be gone. Everybody with me?
Amen. All
right? So now, that's why we're coming to this red horse. When he starts riding, he's killing. But when you come toward the end of that, you're seeing a little bit of, Brother Brown said, a little bit of light. He was sanctifying the church. He was getting rid of the trash. That's why sometimes we as a church, we need a sanctifying message sometimes. We get a preacher come in, an evangelist or somebody that comes in and preaches and just, you know, rips our hide apart. And if you were spiritually, if you had spiritual eyes, you'd see blood flying everywhere. Well, it happens to me. So if y'all don't have, please pray for me.
Amen.
I get all bloody sometimes when I get listening to a message and I'm like, my good grief. I don't just need Band-Aids. I need one of them great big, I need a roll of gauze. That's exactly right. So you've been there. I need a roll of gauze. But you know what it's doing is? It's purging.
Yes.
It's purging out everything that needs to go, because what God's doing is, in that fourth church age, first three church ages, they had the pure word of God. Then it began to be eat down, and they took all kind of stuff, and we're going to read here in a minute where they charged for novenas and all that stuff, the third seal. But God was getting the church ready to perfect her.
Right.
Starting with justification again. All right, justification, sanctification. Because remember, and if we get to the fourth seal, when we come to that fourth seal, Brother Aaron, we're changed.
Amen.
We're changed, because if a rapture takes place, we got to have a body change. So we're looking at it right here, coming up with seal 3, getting everything ready when we get to read it in just a few minutes. Then seal 4 is going to be us getting everything in order in that eagle age, just like the pale horse is getting everything ready for white, red, and black, getting everything ready for Satan to take over his power. God's going to incarnate a group of people. And when he incarnates a group of people, then we're getting out of here. Because after that, Satan's going to come down and he's going to incarnate a guy, and all hell's going to break loose.
Right.
He's going to take over, and there won't be anything called religion anymore, or Christianity.
Right.
Brother Brown said they'll be hunted down and killed in the after we get out of here.
Right.
Right?
Right?
Right before the Battle of Armageddon, the foolish virgin will give their life for the gospel that they believe in. So there's still going to be a group of people, Brother Gary, that stands for a gospel. Even after we're out of here, even after the bride's gone, we've done took a body change. There's a group of people that don't make it.
Right.
They'll be given eternal life, but they don't possess it. Because
right.
There was somebody got in their way.
Amen.
Preached them a false doctrine.
Right.
A northern doctrine. Revelation 6, verse 5. Northern people. I'm glad Brother Brown said that the South won the war. I'm really glad he said that. I mean, historians will tell you different, but Brother Brown said it's on tape.
Right.
Revelation 6, verse 5. We'll read this and then we'll close. And when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast. What is the third beast? What is the third beast? Man. Right there. Lion, ox, man, and eagle. Man. So now we're getting into what? We're getting into some intelligence. But we're also getting into the shrewdness of man. That's why it's the black horse. Because remember, Jesus told him, he said, if that thing inside of you is darkness and you say it's light, how great is that darkness? The deception of man is worse than any other deceiving there ever has been. Everybody with me? All right, so we're still not out of the deception part left right now, but God's building a church that he's going to take that man anointing, though, and he's going to take the intelligence of man, and he's going to make printing presses and put this Bible together so we can read it. He's going to put tapes where we can have it on our phone, and we're going to have all the messages and all this, right? The intelligence of man. But remember, that's all nothing compared to the intelligence of God when we get to that last church age. It's going to be the intelligence. More of the mind of God as we get closer. More of the mind of God and not you and me. If you and me are involved, we have a problem. To Revelation 6, verse 5, and when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast, which is the man, come and see, and I beheld, lo, a black horse. And he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts. I like what Brother Brown said. You know, you could think, well, that just any voice. Brother Brown said that was God. God was protecting the oil and the wine. It says right here, it says a measure of wheat for a penny and three measures of barley for a penny, and see thou hurt not the oil and the wine, because he was getting ready to restore a group of people to where the Pentecostals are going to come in, and they're going to get the Holy Ghost, and they're going to have signs and wonders, and God's going to bring the gifts back into church. And when he does, then we're going to step over into that eagle age, and we're going to be able to preach exactly what we're preaching now.
Right.
Amen. This is the mind of God.
Right.
Not me. This is the mind of God that's coming to you today.
Amen.
Any true believer, Paul said, we have the mind of Christ. Matthew 24, verse 7, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. We're going to get into that a little bit. And there shall be famine and pestilence and earthquakes in many places. Now watch. And these are the beginning of sorrows. Hold on a minute. I thought it was pretty sorrowful in that fourth church age when 68 million Christians got put to death. Right? No, we're getting into the deception age now. The beginning of sorrows is that God is going to be more present than he ever has been before, but people are going to turn him down, just like what we see. Just like we see what we see going on now. God is present in his word. He sent us a prophet. He gave us the Holy Ghost to interpret the word of God to us through a prophet and a fivefold ministry to preach it, and people still turn it down. Let's stand to our feet. That's the blackness of that horse. Musicians, come on. I know we've had a long day, and I appreciate you hanging in there, but I wanted to get that fourth seal out of the way and get started now on, I mean, the second seal and get started on the third seal. Brother Luis was going to speak Wednesday night, but he's going to be gone with that Brother Moses, so I'll be speaking Wednesday also. Then we'll have that brother here with us next Sunday. One service. All right, then we'll have a meeting afterwards for the, we'll just have a discussion about some financial stuff, the bad stuff. So let's sing a song. God bless you, brother. Sing a song for us. If you have a need, the Lord's here to do whatever you need.
My cares.
the more you take control, the more that I can humble myself, the more you lift me up. Every day I live, Lord, I love you more. And it gets easier to understand this road I'm traveling down. No more wavering or wandering, I'm standing on solid ground. And I know I'm headed to my future home, and the voice
I hear is yours alone. Every day I live, Lord, can you sing it to him? Sing it to him. Something about it.
You take control.
But he said, lay it all on me.
The more that I can humble myself, the more you lift me up. Every day I live, Lord, I love you more.
Sing that chorus one more time.
So thankful for the day your visitation came to us, Lord, through your word, Lord. We felt your presence throughout the whole day, and from the very beginning as we entered this house, we want to leave it in the same manner. We want it to be ready for Wednesday night, that when we come back and everything's prepared to hear your word, Lord. We want to be walking in your word this week. When we walk upon somebody and encourage them to be in the will of the Lord, or pray for them, or touch your body, whatever their needs may be, Lord, we just ask that we could be a light into a path of someone who is seeking your way. And we're so thankful that our pastor here, Lord, and we think of how you bless its ministry. Because the change of the body is the next thing to happen, Lord, and I believe unto that. And I know the word has come. No more new word to come, just the revelation and the day thereof. And I'm so thankful to have these brothers and sisters in my life, for we are one in you, Lord. And we say this in your name as we go. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. The more that I surrender, the more